Blog Talk Radio.
Speak, Lord.
I know y'all waiting on it, and guess what? I'm gonna bring it to you, cause it's time now to start getting down to the facts. Uncle Billy is back, y'all. Tonight is the night that's gonna start it. That's gonna start it back. Ask Uncle Billy Radio, man. My stuff done went dead, but yeah, I'm back. Same old phone numbers, and guess what? When I put out these new business cards telling everybody how to reach me and why they should, everybody's going to be happy. Because it's time to shine. It's time to really start putting people in the know. And one other reason why it took me so long to get back with y'all, I've been kind of under the weather again. And I know mostly it's because I haven't been telling enough people about stupidity. Yeah, that's something that runs rampant in some historical neighborhoods. You know, I ain't going to say that black folk win all the contests for being stupid, but God dog, if I was to get one, I'd know who most of the prize is going to go to. So, let me put a couple of things in perspective when I call you stupid. Because I've been there, done that. If I was to break a fingernail now, I will call the doctor and ask them, what should I do? If I was to stub my toe, no, I don't have sugar. But if I was to stub my toe, because there's other diseases of the bone and diseases that makes us more vulnerable than others. So I'm not trying to get hip with you. I'm not trying to get fancy with you. I'm here to talk like I normally talk and what I usually do. Because the fact of the matter is, our ego is what's been letting us down for a whole lot of years. I remember when I was about 18, 19 years old, I stepped on a nail that I believe the nail was rusty. I wouldn't know because I didn't even look down at it, no, after I saw the blood on it. And one of my best friends was with me at the time, and he said, come on, man, this doctor down here on Martin Luther King will take care of that. He'll give you a shot, man. He'll give you a tetanus shot. I said, man, I ain't going to shoot. Go and get me some alcohol, and he said, some rubbing alcohol? What is it? I said, no, the other kind of alcohol. And left it at that. You know, I'd stepped on nails before and gotten away with it. Guess I didn't stick it deep enough, or it wasn't rusty enough, or whatever. But that nail there was the start of stupid mentality that went on for a lot more years. Because even after I got done with all the problems that I incurred over stepping on that nail, because I walked around with, y'all don't hear me, because y'all not listening. I walked around with lockjaw for a lot of years. And let me tell you, when you really want to know, ask Uncle Billy, because Uncle Billy can tell you about being stupid and walking around with illnesses and not knowing what they are and doing nothing about it. That's the real stupid part, especially when you don't even have a clue of what's wrong with you. And you've never been to doctor school, you've never been to anyone's medical school. I'm going to have to say it both ways sometimes. but you want to diagnose yourself. You want to say, well, I seen so-and-so, so-and-so. You know, everybody's system is different, and we're all created equal. It, almost anything can kill you. So, yeah, I walked around, and let me tell you. So this the show tonight, y'all, and I'm going to get on it real quick. This episode of the Ask Uncle Billy Show will be the start of something big. We're going to talk about stupid people a whole lot. The guest that you will be hearing from, along with myself, are going to tell stories and incidents about growing up in an invisible kingdom. For y'all that don't understand it, back when I was growing up, they'd coordinate the neighborhoods that you grew up in and made sure that you didn't bother certain other neighborhoods. Y'all don't hear me. But, yeah, it was built like that. So when they said don't come to Highland Park, they meant it. And you go to jail for being in Highland Park, you might be in there for a year to jail. So, no, you didn't do certain things. But the illnesses and problems that perpetrated our neighborhoods were not fabricated. They were real. Because, man, I seen folk walking around. One of my young partners, early in the game, before we even learned that there were real, true differences in health care and everything else, this young friend of mine, because he was younger than I was, died from walking pneumonia. And it hit me like a ton of bricks because he was young and seemed like he was healthy. So, and I preface this by saying, y'all, I just got over pneumonia. And I was scared as all get out. I was at one doctor's office and about to get a transplant, y'all. Let's be real. Yeah, I need a transplant now. And we're about to get one. My doctor come in the room and said, Mr. Parnell, you can't get a transplant right now. I said, what? Why? You hear them two words? What? Why? They were just together that quick because I was anxious, you know. I need a kidney bad. So she said, Mr. Parnell, you got pneumonia. And Lord have mercy, shocked me to no end, shocked me to death. And so what I did was had to go on and go to dialysis that day because I was going to miss because I was going to get a kidney. So I didn't go to dialysis. I went to the hospital to get my kidney. And when I was told that, I said, yeah, I might as well go to dialysis. Went to dialysis, got off the machine, and I was still weak and stuff. I got medication and stuff. It wasn't enough for what I had. And lo and behold, I had to take a medication that was about 4 or 5 times stronger than the medication that I was on because it had sunk in just that much. You know, pneumonia don't play. And I'm still up under the auspices that I got trickling effects or something, you know. So suffice it to say, I've been going through in and out my other doctors and stuff and, you know, trying to get caught up on getting back in better health. I'll never be in great health, but I'm doing all right. I'm in fair, like most of us. The only thing is now when I identify a problem in my health care, I touch bases with it as fast as I can, and so should you. Because like I said, there were illnesses and problems that perpetrated our neighborhood. They were not fabricated. You sick. And the point is, you know you sick, and you won't do nothing about it. And a lot of times when I was young, I thought it was ego, fear, and it's all of that and a bag of chips, y'all. Because it's put together with some of the thoughts of us going to the doctor's office and never coming back. Going to the doctor's office and not being able to leave. Going to the doctor's office and, you know, having all kinds of problems, you know. So, it's no fabrication, y'all. It's a fact. You know, we need to start doing more than we're doing. And we're not. So, you know, what we're doing actually is defeating the purpose. Because some illnesses, if you let them dwindle and go too long, might not be no cure. You know what I'm saying? You done heard, well, it was cancer and we caught it too late. And it was this. See, so you got to start doing yourself better before. I was telling somebody the other day, if you treat yourself like a king and all of the people you encounter like kings and queens, guess what? They retaliate in kindness. You hear what I'm saying? Y'all don't hear me. Y'all ain't listening. But you got to understand that all of them growls in your voice and them frowns on your faces, it don't get you nowhere. Nothing but a whole lot of resentment. And so when they do, most times, I'm going to say oftentimes, we're not diagnosed until it's too late. But how long did you know before somebody else forced you to go to the doctor? Did you realize you were sick? Probably 3 or 4 months before, maybe longer than that. See, I've been there. I know about your ego. Because at one time or another, mine was exactly like yours, probably larger. Because I had a great big ego. Still got a part of it now. But the thing is, as I was saying earlier, we need to treat ourselves a lot better. You know, we treat our best friends great. We need to treat ourselves in kind, just like we treat our best friends, just like we treat our great family members. You know what I'm saying? Because if you keep ignoring some of the telltale issues and signs of being sick or being out of shape, it can kill you. Yeah, I know about that part too. Well, I know I mentioned that I needed a kidney, but back in the 90s, early 90s, when I had a great disregard for humankind, mostly myself, knew I was sick, knew something was wrong. But, that's the reason I opened up with, was it fear? Was it all ignorance or what? But I know a lot of mine was fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of being right with my diagnosis. I was wrong to a certain extent. I thought I had cancer, which I did, but it wasn't of the magnitude at first that they couldn't heal it. They eventually healed it some 10 or 15 years later. But, you know, and I try to tell folks, that's way too long. That's way too long. And I was seeing doctors on a regular basis, but, you know, they figured since I didn't care that much, why should they? So that's one of our biggest problems, the way we treat ourselves and the way we treat people that we don't even know. You want to go in like you're running something, you want to, you know, let's just keep it real now. Because this show is just an eye-opener of many shows to come, because I'm finding that there's a lot of people out there that made proper changes in their lives, whether it was going back to school, getting an education. It's going to be a lot of that, because I did it, and I wanted to kind of like take a survey. So I started asking a lot of my friends, because you want to find more people that's made mistakes like you did and then air it out. You know what I'm saying? So what I did was I just started asking some of my new friends and associates, you know, how did they get to where they are? And, you know, just about all of them had the same kind of hardcore story, you know. Well, I dropped out of school and I did this. I said, yeah. But to prod them on and let them know that they wasn't by themselves, I told them, I said, well, I dropped out of school in the eighth grade. I became a pool hustler, a gambler, and it was better than a job. Because when I was coming up, $20 a week was almost the limit if you were a busboy, a dishwasher, or something like that, you know. And if you was too young, they wouldn't let you work. So sometimes you had to lie to get your age up. They didn't care. They wanted it up anyhow because the wages that they was paying, they just needed somebody who could do the job. But to no avail, you know, wasn't my cup of tea. So, and I was 30 years old when I went back to school. Went back to school, learned a lot better of being in church with the outside world, because my inside world, I know a lot of you all don't understand this, but there's a disease called agoraphobia. Look it up in the dictionary, whatever. You'll find that a lot of agoraphobians were afraid to be in the public a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? And so I knew a lot of those people. I knew a lot of agoraphobics because, you know, I don't know whether it was planned or not, but, you know, they're also afraid to go somewhere by themselves. You know, they have to be with someone that they know on a regular basis. If they go out and go to the store, anywhere, they got to be with somebody that they trust and love and all that stuff. So basically, what I'm saying is that a lot of people in neighborhoods that I grew up in all of them, you know, I had proximity to each and every one of them through family and friends and associates. But I find that in most of the neighborhoods I would go in, they were basically the same type of people in each area, not colorated, not, you know, because they were controlled by the area that they grew up in. They knew it backwards and forwards and everything else, but you get them out of that area, they didn't know any other part of the city or anything. And it would be very difficult for them to make it outside of where they grew up. So, and it was a well-kept secret, so to speak. Didn't nobody mention it, didn't nobody bring it up. And then after I studied the situation a little taste, I started asking different people about why they don't leave, and they got upset. You know, these are people that, you know, not well educated, but educated enough to get out, maintain, and get a job and whatever. But if they wasn't working with someone that they knew where they could ride the bus or ride in the car and whatever, they didn't leave. And I'm pretty sure you all, and I said this on one of my shows back a couple of years ago, I'm 100% sure that you, if you grew up in either one of the neighborhoods that I grew up in, South Dallas, West Dallas, East Dallas, North Dallas, and y'all know what I'm talking about, in the projects and whatever, I'm 100% sure that you know some agoraphobics. And with that being said, it never came to you why certain people didn't leave home. You know, like your credit card said, don't leave home without it. But these are people that wouldn't leave home without a friend or without a close associate that they trusted because they were sick. But be that, the only other reason that stupidity kicked in was because we were afraid of doctors. We had heard so much. I know the thing was in when I was young that certain ambulances were not to be ridden in by young black men. People say, what you talking about? What you say? That ain't never happened. It was said now, and I'm just following up on the way I was taught and the way I was brought up. It was said now, don't you get no ambulance by yourself. If you get shot, if you get stabbed, if you get whatever, hit in the head, don't get in that ambulance till I get there. That was mama and them talking. Don't you get in no ambulance till I get there. Said, because I ain't going to have them take you. Mama, what you talking about? Didn't you hear about so-and-so, so-and-so? Yeah, mama, they died. Yeah, but how did they die? The rumors began already started. He got in that ambulance. He was all right. But when he got to the hospital, he was dead. And those are the type of rumors that were based on facts, but that was coming up trying to educate us that there was a lot wrong going on. And that also put a fear in our mindset of most things medical. And so, you know, I had my doubts about doctors all the way till, like I said, till they start saving my life. And after they start saving my life, I started researching.
They older. They older people.
Put your phone on mute.
Yeah.
Yes, I started researching the... put your phone on mute.
He cleaning it up good. Oh, I'm sorry. How you doing?
Yes, good, wonderful evening.
How are you
How
doing?
How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm blessed.
I'm in the neighborhood, West End Transfer Center.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh,
can you hear
okay.
me?
Now I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
okay,
I can.
Okay, well, we're on the show talking about doctors and why why some people don't go to doctors even when they know they're sick. Because I was basing tonight's show on we neglect ourselves so much that other people have to ignore us too.
Right. Right.
And so once you get caught up in that strange world of invisibility, how far should it go, or how far do you think it should go before you try to bring in some realism? You know, because being afraid to go to the doctor, knowing that you're sick, but not knowing what your illness is, is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't really like calling people stupid, but I was that for a long time before I realized I wasn't hurting anyone but me and my family, you know. So after I woke up and started smelling the coffee, I decided, and I was telling the listeners, if I break a fingernail, my nurse don't know about it, and as soon as I can get to him, my doctor gonna know about it, because nurse might not know what to tell me. Because life is too great to be cut short by stupidity.
Right.
I want to know what's wrong, and I know what I can do to make it right.
Right.
And so that's where I was when I heard you talking to your neighbors.
No.
So,
no.
What's going on in your world?
Well, I wanted to just go and piggyback on what you were saying, because you know I've been in that situation where you didn't want to take the medicine to get better, you know. And then I've been in that situation where I did want to, and I had a problem with finding a provider, you know. As we're living in this day and time with uncertainty with insurance, you know, that occurred to me. Some people want to get help, but they are not wanting to be a part of bureaucracy. And there's a lot. You have to really, really be vigilant. As you know, I've heard someone very wise tell me, you know who I'm talking about, and proactive for your own health and well-being. So basically, that's what I wanted to add on to what you were saying, because you're right. We don't know that there's a bomb in Gilead. That, you know, there is a healing that can occur when you are proactive for your health and well-being, you know, and you do the right routine. So that's all I wanted to add.
Well, that's a very, very strong part of it, because, you know, sometimes the neglect, yeah, people say, you know, when the doctor tells you, well, you got cancer, you got stage 4. If we could have called it a little earlier, you know, that's disheartening news on top of this, that you've been stupid so long that you the one made it worse.
Right,
you know,
by delaying. Delay.
Yeah.
Delay. Delay.
So, you know, sooner or later, we got to wake up and stop passing all these myths. My son had a show on a couple of years ago. Myths and legends. Myths and legends. He said, every time we tell our kids that they can't swim when they trying to go to the swimming pool, and he said, Dad, how did you teach me how to swim? I said, remember? He said, yeah. I said, I guess you think I don't remember how I taught you how to swim. He said, no, Daddy, you know, he goes, it was strange. You didn't even ask me if I could swim. I said, I had already asked you. And you told me yes. He said, Dad, I was a little boy when you said that. I said, you was a little boy when I threw your ass out there. But, you know, you told me you could swim. He said, well, what about that other thing you asked me? I said, boy, no, I wasn't going to let you get up on no stand where your legs was too short. Yeah, I asked him, could he drive? He said, yeah, Dad, I can drive. But when I asked him, could he swim, he thought I had forgot about it. Yeah, I said, well, you told me you could swim. So I told him out there. Yeah. So, you know, but that's the way it was. And that way, kids stop lying to you. You stop lying to them. We didn't never talk about Santa Claus or nothing. Because, you know, I didn't want to hurt anyone else's agenda.
Right.
So, you know, if you believe them over my not saying anything, then go ahead on. You'll learn later, you know. But,
right.
I didn't crush no apples, but I brought everything that I could when I was asked a question to the forefront. Like when I got stabbed,
right.
My boy was 6 years old. 6 years old. And I swear to you right now that I didn't know what I was going to do the rest of my life. I sat down because my son had asked me, Daddy, what we going to do? I said, boy, we going to do whatever it takes for me to get back up on my feet. And you just go around there and keep playing and doing what you're doing. Ain't nothing going to change. He said, okay. I was so glad he had faith in me because, boy, I didn't know. I said, after he left, I sat up and started crying. But then it came to me, re-education and dedication to your own, on your own behalf is what it's going to take. I was sitting and watching TV, and a friend of mine, I didn't know it was going to be him, was over, that was over the college preparatory classes, you know, if you wanted to go to college. Government was going to send you. And he and I had met at OIC, Opportunities Industrialization Center. He was a professor, a teacher at the school. He taught one of the classes like history or math or something. And, you know, the school was really dedicated. It was ran by members of the Urban League and stuff, and a couple of other different programs. But, you know, as in all most things with men and women attached, greedy people, it was a little tainted. So it got shut down. But before it got shut down, it was worldwide. It was a worldwide program, you know. It hadn't been tried and tested like it was being done at that time. And they had classes in almost nursing and stuff like that. But just so happened the school that I went to, we had classes in upholstery, automotive mechanic, and a couple of other classes. I can't think of. But then the one interested me, and that was upholstery. I wanted to own a couple of upholstery shops. And so we got in there, man, we were so good, so talented, but we wasn't good to ourselves. First job we got fired. I mean, this company hired about 8 of us, maybe more at one time. And the company made furniture that was so eccentric and expensive that they could afford to pay us thousands of dollars a set. You know, the sofa, the couch, and the love seat. And I used to could mention them all and tell you what sizes, dimensions, and everything it was. But when you don't use it, you lose. But I'm talking about, and you know, these guys couldn't stop drinking every morning and through the day. They were still good. They was extremely good because they had done it like that during school hours and stuff. We didn't have no teacher. We actually taught ourselves more of it. The books and stuff that was laid out before us had dementias and, you know, the history of the divan or sofa and all of that in it, and taught you a whole lot. But it didn't have any of the other stuff that was needed in, like the hands-on and any correctional stuff, like don't drink and smoke weed during working hours or something, you know. But these young dudes, man, they took it for granted that they could continue doing the same way they did in school. And shit, man called us all in and pointed out a couple of them that he didn't never smell no alcohol on and that he didn't never smell no weed on. The only thing was, we didn't have no car, and you had to have transportation to get where I don't didn't drive at the time. Maybe one bus. So all of that kind of stuff, you know, it would have equaled out if we'd have been able to work for maybe 4 months apiece, 4 or 5 months, could have paid cash for our own car. You know, in 78, 79, you tell you making almost over $1,000 a piece a week. You see what I'm saying? But couldn't stop the party to get to where you wanted to go. And I was constantly trying to feed them information about owning their own business. Yeah, man, after we do this here, after we get a little more proficient at this, we can all got to all pitch in, open up a couple of shops. I needed a lot of their help because, you know, some of them were so good on the sewing machine. But it was all of that. But, you know, had nobody sat down and thought about the months ahead or the years ahead or anything. So it was I don't want to say a joke, but it was frustrating to say the least, because it was a way to get out from under the thumb of anybody else and be on your own. And no one had thought any further than that. So, but with all of that being said, we have to start, and as I was telling listeners earlier, we are going to have to start with by letting some of the people that I have in mind come in and tell their own stories, tell their own ideas about how they got to where they were and the struggles that they went through. You know, like a self-help, self-motivational type situation. You know, you're not the only one that you know, like my son was telling me, Daddy, you're not the only blind man in the world. I'm blind now. I said, boy, you act like you bragging. He said, no, I ain't bragging. I was just taught to do for myself, and I don't want nobody else trying to give me no pity party. I said, boy, where did you get that from? He said, Dad, I heard you say that. I said, well, I guess I wasn't wrong. Could I take some of it back? He said, no. He said, because I get tired of people trying to tell me you blind like I didn't know it. I said, well, son, you know, I said, I'll tell you that so that you won't stumble. You know, you won't. He said, Daddy, well, I'm just letting you know I can do it. I can get around. Sure enough, he got married on the 10th of May, and his wife is also vision impaired.
Wow.
And she's practicing to become a law student or a paralegal. And
she got a lot on
her list.
Wow.
So I put him out and I kept her.
What you say? Ain't no stopping us now. That's great.
Yeah. So all the problems I have right now, they trying to find out where they want to finally homestead, and right now they're in Houston.
So
let me play this song, and I'll be right back with you. Because there's a leak in this old building.
Oh, okay. Call in and tell your story because you got a good testimony. Love it. You too.
Why?
Yeah, that's over. That's over. And now for the last pass. We'll do this for the past, the future, and everything else. Cause I'm gonna tell y'all a little bit more about the upcoming shows. You gonna listen to yourself. You gonna hear yourself, and you gonna be yourself. I'm gonna pass out some cards where you will be a member of Bunton United, Bunton Friends and Family, or just a regular member of the Ask Uncle Billy Show.
We got a situation here in Dark with a bus driver. They got some situations. Let me get this on live if I can. If something happened. Oh, okay. Bus done stopped on them. No, just the bus done stopped, and they trying to get them a ride on this particular bus. That mean it's going to take me a while to get what I need to get for you, but I get it. But anyway, go ahead. I was just letting you know what's going on. I'm making sure.
It's a surprise.
I've never been surprised
in my life. Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's almost shutdown time. So what I'd like for you to do is give a shout out to somebody that you care about so that when they listen to it tomorrow on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or whatever show they listen to it on, they'll hear from you and yours. You can tell them, go on LinkedIn, I call your name.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got somebody in mind right now. When you said that, it's almost as if you were reading my heart and my mind. A cousin of mine called me and informed me that my cousin, his mother, that I've been telling you about, who shared that same floor that you were on, she's back there again, you know, with a heart ailment. So he informed me and told me to, you know, try to get to see her, which I'm going to do, you know. But That's really what's on my heart and mind when we think about that this is Memorial Day weekend, that we want to remember those who have helped us throughout our lives. I thank you, sir, very much for assisting me with your knowledge and actually just feeding me a lot of your knowledge and helping me to grow in a lot of areas. And on that subject that you were talking about earlier, the illnesses. I know exactly what you're speaking about because you told me about these several times. I told you about my situations, and it's a pleasure to be around someone who can give some insight into whatever you're going through, because you have been through so many different things, and you're not afraid to let somebody know, and you're not even afraid to say, "Hey, I'm wrong," and you know, I'm getting to that point better myself, and I appreciate you. I know that the information that you are trying to or that you are going to put out to the public is getting greater and greater. And they say greater later, but it's getting greater and greater. And here's to you. And just saying that, hoping that this show continues to grow strong and does the will of our Creator in truth and sincerity. And with that, I want to say good night to you and peace out.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And, you're welcome, because your thirst for knowledge and growth is so immense that I couldn't help but retaliate with all I had. So now to the best part is it's gonna get even better. So. With all of that being said, good night. I'm fixing to go fly a kite. I think it's time for me to go. You know what time it is. It's time to get higher and higher and higher, you know.
In the world. That's right.
Yeah.
We're going up.
So I will see you on Monday. You
in
have
a minute.
Great, wonderful evening. Huh?
I say
yeah.
See you in a
so,
minute.
Good night. Holla.
Good night. Holla.
One more time, y'all. One more time. I got 3 minutes. Yeah. I'm going to leave y'all with this one because when I rose this morning, I had nothing but shyness on my voice and my heart and all up and down. Yo, I just come off the air.
Where you at?
I'm at home. Yeah, I do all my shows at home. I just hired a dude today, but I just fired him there. So he didn't even call me into the show. I've been trying to hire you for years. I don't want to hear that.
talk to a few companies and get them to put flyers and stuff in their beauty salons and stuff. And be the sponsor for their show. And I give them a radio show, 30 minutes a day or something, maybe an hour, depending on how long it is. And they can have a show with the name of the salon on there, cutting up, this is what we do, this is the way we do it at so and so salon. You know, we can write all of that up. So guys, you actually written it down for a barbershop. Yeah. And that's just one of the many. I got restaurants and everything on my list. I got churches. Some of them I don't know the ministers, but the concept is great. Give them a show in on Sunday morning. Let them be on YouTube. Let them be on YouTube, Instagram, all of that.
Well,
yeah, I got some products to sell. How's Angie doing? I talked to her. Somebody that has been also giving us a talk about young men and keeping them in your business. No, I got the
I got to see your daughter one time, and she was on the moon then. No, she didn't come in the house that day. Cause I wasn't over there but for a little while. I went over there to get a plate, and they were staying on our deal. Yeah, but I didn't get to see her. Because I had asked Pam to let me see her. Because I wanted to meet her. But Pam had cooked me some ribs and potato salad and stuff. And I just went over there and got me a plate. Mm-hmm. And she had made me back to it. Reggie come talking about, come on, Bill, let's go. But that's okay. It's going to be another time. When I start getting famous, you're going to tell us, you're going to call me and say, get your Uncle Bill to send Fudge. He got all that money. What did I do? I told him. So, oh, I love gospel music, baby. See, what a lot of people don't realize is I was raised up in the church. I started going to church because Pam's daddy wanted to be a minister when he was a little boy.
Well, I was talking to my ex-husband on the phone, but you know I'm married now, but I was talking to my ex-husband. My husband busted the room and said, who you was talking to? And I called. I'm not talking to my, I'm talking to Stephanie. So what did I say that for? Because he called Stephanie. And Stephanie told him that, no, he wasn't talking to me, so I called Stephanie. Why you didn't have my back? He was like, why you didn't tell my husband I was talking to you? But the way you wasn't talking to me. And we got into it, and I said, but I said a bad thing. I said, I wish you were dead.
Oh, Lord, I
guess it. Yeah, I did. But I apologize, but you know, she's like,